Chag Sameach to all of Good Moed. Thank you so much for coming out on Chol HaMoed. This evening, I'd like to speak about a topic that both connects to the halacha and hashkafa of the Chag. Certainly on any holiday, we want to walk away with themes and messages of inspiration to walk away with into the year. So the Chag does not leave us behind, but rather we take the Chag into the year once the Chag is over. And this shiur on Wednesday nights usually connects the halacha and the parsha, and certainly this Shabbos is a regular parsha, but it's the Shvi Shel Pesach, the famous Kriyas Yamsuf takes place on the seventh day of Pesach, the beautiful day, and we will be laning as Yashir and celebrating Kriyas Yamsuf to a degree this coming Shabbos. And one of the things we're going to lane is a little bit of a surprising pasuk, famous pasuk as it's in the Pesukei Dezimra every morning. And namely, the Torah relates in Perek Yudal of Sefer Shmos that after we crossed the Yam Suf, so the Jewish people saw God's great hand. The nation feared Hashem. They believed him. And they also believed in Moshe. So the kasha is, what's the kasha? You mean to tell me that what? That only at this point did the people finally really believe in Hashem? You mean to tell me that over 12 months of Makos and everything else that was going on between Moshe's arrival and Kriyas Yamsuf, including the actual exodus of Egypt, you mean to tell me that until this point the people did not have emuna? Fair question, right? Anyone want to answer that question? What do you think the Torah is coming to say by saying, oh, after Kriyas Yamsuf, the people finally had emuna in Hashem and Moshe. Now they had Yiras Shamayim, implying that until that point they did not have Yiras Shamayim. We're talking about the nation that left Egypt, right? Left the Chareb Midbar. These are the people who are given credit for walking into the desert without any food. You know, this is a pretty impressive group of people. Yet the Torah seems to imply that only after Kriyas Yamsuf did they actually have emuna. Anyone want to suggest it? It's not a most simple question. Simple, challenging question. And Or HaChaim HaKadosh is bothered by this kasha. And Or HaChaim says that certainly there are different degrees of yira. The Rambam famously in Hilchos Zeh Torah makes a distinction between what's called yiras ha'onesh and yiras ha'romamus. So basic fear of God means I fear getting punished of God. That's a low level of fear. You obey the Lord lest he punish you. A much higher level of Yiras Hashem is what's called Yiras HaRomamus, when you act out of awe. There's not a fright of being punished, but rather you are not afraid of God, but rather there is a reverence, an awe of the Ribono Shel Olam. It says, the Or HaChaim, you could read this pasuk in one of two ways. Either you could say, originally they had Yiras HaOnesh, and now they got to the higher Madriga of what's called Yiras HaRomamus, or maybe even Ein Hachanami, although it's maybe surprising, but it could be. He proves when we got the Korban Pesach, he quotes a Midrash that says there were many Jews who refused to go through the process of the Bris Milah. When Moshe Rabbeinu said, okay guys, time to get your lamb tied to the bed, and by the way, you have to circumcise yourself before you bring the first Korban Pesach in history, the Or HaChaim there quotes a Midrash that says many Jews were not able to commit to that mitzvah and therefore did not bring the first Korban Pesach. It says the Or HaChaim, you can understand this pasuk by Az Yashir in one of two ways. Either, of course, we had Yiras Shamayim before Kriyas Yamsuf, only a lower level, Yiras Onesh, and now we're on a higher level of Yiras Ramamus. Alternatively, one could argue that yes, although it's surprising, it is true that there were Jews who did not really have Yiras Shamayim at all, and only now, after Az Yashir, there was a basic degree of fear of God. So the Or HaChaim, seems to read the pasuk in one of two ways. But the main takeaway for the point of this shiur that's entitled The Transition and Transformation of Pesach is that we experienced stages when we left Mitzrayim. It's not like the Jews were slaves one day, and then the next day, they were free. Rather, they experienced chayrus in stages. Now, it is true that the official calendar date that marks our exodus is the 15th of Nisan, and that certainly would imply that on the 14th we were not free, and on the 15th we were free. But there is clearly more to the story, which would mean that there are different degrees of freedom, and there were different stages of the progress we made to become free. We're going to prove from the halacha and the hashkafa here that the very essence of the Korban Pesach speaks to the ultimate transition, namely that of conversion. Whoa. Okay? So we're going to learn now that the Korban Pesach in its very nature resembles the process of conversion. So let's learn a Rambam, a good old-fashioned Rambam, in Hilchos Mechisure Kapara. It's going to relate to the laws of Korban Pesach. So let's play out a scenario. A ger, someone who converts to Judaism. Shamal, he has a bris milah, the tavel, and he goes to the mikvah. V'adayin lo'hevi korbanu, but he had not yet brought his korban. He did not yet bring his korban, which is essential. A ger needs to bring a korban to complete his conversion. Again, nowadays, certainly we have gerim without korbanos, obviously. But when we had the Beis HaMikdash, a ger would bring a korban. So what's the law? All the while that a ger, a convert, has not yet brought his korban, he is not allowed to eat kudshim. He's not allowed to eat kudshim. You know why? Because he's not fully a Jew yet. Ubipneiza, says the Rambam, Eino ochel bekudshim, mechusir kapara, perak alef alacha beiz. Anyone listening hypothetically online right now, the Makoros are not on the app, but on the website, yutorah.org. And I always try to post the Makoros and I give a shir. So what's the halacha over here? That you're not allowed to eat kudshim. You know why? Because you're not a full-fledged Jew. So how can you eat kudshim? The whole mitzvah is to eat a korban. And if you're not a Jew, you cannot eat of korbanos. You can't eat of the sacred food. So this particular convert who has not yet brought his conversion korban is not allowed to eat kudshim. Oh, all right. Pretty basic law, right? But the Or Sameach, or Meir Simcha Midvinsk, also known as the Meshech Chachma, he has a kasha on the Rambam. He says, wait a minute, Rambam. Tzarech Biur, you have to answer this question. Eich Amri Beishamai, so how does Beishamai and Pesachim Tzadi Beizim and Aleph hold the following? Ger Shenis Gayer, Be'erev Pesach. Uh-oh, now I have a very funny scenario. Imagine you have a convert who converts to Judaism at Erev Pesach. What's the problem going to be? He needs to eat the Korban Pesach that night. How's he going to eat the Korban Pesach that night? He's Mechusar Kippurim. He's lacking what his conversion Korban, the Korban that a ger needs to bring. Meaning, if you convert on Yudalid Nisan, you got a problem. Why? Because that day you have to bring the Korban Pesach. You're a Jew now, right? But you can't eat it. Why can't you eat it? Because you're not allowed to eat any Korban yet because you didn't bring your own Korban to become a full-fledged Jew. So we would expect the halacha to say, since he did not yet bring the korban to complete his conversion, therefore he cannot partake in the korban Pesach. Right? Maybe that would be the logical conclusion. No, that how can this individual eat the korban Pesach yet? He did not yet bring the korban that would complete his conversion. However, that's not what Beis Shammai says. Beis Shammai says, if a person converts on the 14th of Nisan, you know what happens? Even though he went to the mikvah and he did all of everything else, even though he did not bring his korban, rather, that night, he eats the korban Pesach. That's Beis Shammai Shita. Right, it's right here. Maseches Pesachim, Mishnah, Tzadi Beis Amar Aleph, a ger that converts an Erev Pesach, Beis Shammai Omrim, Tovel, he just dunks. But ochel es pischola erev, and he can eat the korban pesach that night, like everybody else at their seder. So asks the Or Sameach, I don't understand. Hatzarich lehavi kaparaso. How in the blazes does this individual eat the korban pesach? Ubelo korban hu aser leechol bekadshim. He's not allowed to eat any korban without first bringing his own korban to complete his conversion. He's got work to do. He's what's called a mechusar kippurim in halacha. Oh. Is not only the question of the Or Sameach, it's the question of the Minchas Chinuch, the Daf HaDaf Sefer, on that Gemara in Masechet Pesachim quoted the Minchas Chinuch. So you have two Gdolei Achron who are bothered by this Kasha. So clearly it's a very, very significant Kasha. And to make matters worse, look how the Rambam presents the halacha lamaisa. There's a gersh in his guy, Rabbi Omar Ba'asar. So you have an individual who converts on the 14th of Nisan, and he went to the mikvah, he did bris milah. Well, ain shochten alav. You're not allowed to shech the korban pesach for that individual. Why not? I would have concluded that sentence. Because he's not allowed to eat the korban because he did not yet bring his korban to become a full-fledged geir. That's how I would have liked the Rambam to conclude a sentence. But the Rambam does not say that. The Rambam says like this, Hillel over there, that you know why he can't bring a korban pesach? Because of tumah. It's a tumah issue. We namely treat a geir as if he's tamei meis, even though he's not really tamei meis. We don't want him to get confused the next year, yada yada yada. But ultimately, what the Rambam does not say is that he cannot eat the korban pesach because he needs to bring a korban to complete his conversion. So I just wanted to kind of complete the kasha. So could anyone try to figure out why in the blazes this geir is allowed to eat his korban pesach even though he did not yet bring his own korban to complete his conversion? What would be a fancy answer to answer this question? I want to take a guess. Be creative. Very right. And then the Orzamach's bothered by this, the Menachaschim's bothered by this. Not a simple question. But what would be a logical guess? I don't know. Is there a logical guess? And if Adam Karp, who is a highly religious man according to all authorities, gave me some two eyebrows, he's like, I don't know, Mandelstam. So that's a good kasha. So recently, I was in Jamaica States where I grew up in Queens, New York, and I was thinking about conversion, not because I wanted to convert, Baruch Hashem. I do not need to convert. That being said, the Chasam Sofer actually says that we convert on a spiritual level at the Seder. You know, in the same way you need to view yourself as if you left Egypt at the Seder night, but you also have to view yourself as if you were originally an Ovid Avodah Zarah and you converted to Judaism at the Seder night. Wild Chasam Sofer. And I met my good old friend, Jared Rosenfeld, Rabbi Rosenfeld, who is a Shol Umeshev at this point for Rabbi Yonas and Sachs in the Landers College for Men, a very, very dear friend of mine. We go back to the pre-Bar Mitzvah days. We were friends in camp together, and we always remained close, went to Shalvim, YU together. So really lifelong friends. We were at each other's Bar Mitzvahs and weddings, and we were zocha to both be connected to Jamaica States. He married into Jamaica States, and I was born in Jamaica States, and we were both at the same Shachris Minyan on the first day of Chol HaMoed. We were schmoozing, and we were talking about this sugya a little bit. And he told me to look up this Or Sameach, and I told him the Chasam Sofer. And I want to thank him for pointing to me to this Or Sameach, but there's a lot of connections between Pesach and conversion. And namely, you know what the Or Sameach is going to say? That you know why this convert does not need to bring a korban to complete his conversion before eating the korban Pesach? You know why? Because the korban Pesach itself completes the conversion. Now, where do we see such a paradigm or a pretext for that, that the Korban Pesach is related to a conversion? Where do we see that, right? The very original Korban Pesach, did it not accomplish that very thing, right? When we were originally Mitzrayim, what did the Korban Pesach serve to accomplish? Now, did it not mold us into a nation? Let's look at the very original Korban Pesach in Mitzrayim, and we'll see that from the very outset of this mitzvah, there was always a connection to growing, namely transformation. Says the Torah, Shmos Yudbeis, Pasuk Chaval, Vayikra Moshe L'chol Zikna Yisrael. Moshe calls out to the Jewish people, the Zikanim, Vayomar Lehem, Mishchu Ukchu Lachem Son. Go draw or purchase for yourself some sheep, a lamb, the Mishmach Oseichem, V'shachatu HaPesach, i.e., Shechter Korban Pesach. Now, what do these words mean? Mishchu ukhu. So Rashi quotes the first opinion of the Mechelta. If you already own a lamb, so take it. Mishchu, you know, pull it forward. However, if you don't own one yet, then kechu, then you should buy one. However, Rabbi Yossi Aglili says a wild idea. No. Mishchu yedecha me'avodah zara. What Moshe Rabbeinu was telling Klal Yisrael was that in order to enjoy and partake in the Korban Pesach, what you first need to do is get rid, draw your hands away of the Avodah Zarah, and only then can you cling to the mitzvah of the Korban Pesach. So Soloveitchik saw this midrash, and the Or Sameach, quoting very similar mikoros, all point to the fact that originally the Korban Pesach was associated with us transforming from Ovde the Avodah Zarah into Ovde Hashem. And there's a Gemara in Krisus that the Rav brought down. And also, this Gemara will connect the Korban Pesach with the conversion process. Namely, what does Rebbe say in the Gemara in Krisus, Daf Tes Amud Aleph? So this Gemara is speaking about Gerus, about conversion. And it brings our forefathers as the paradigm of converts. Ma avoseichem lo nichnasu lebris ela bemila vitvila vehartza azdam. The only way our ancestors entered into the covenant of Judaism was with a bris mila, mikvah, and some form of sprinkling of blood. Afheim lo yichnasu lebris ela bemila vitvila vehartza azdamim. All converts for future generations are going to need those three items in order to become converts. So the Gemara wants to understand, when did those three things take place? So when did Mila happen? Well, the Torah says, well, when we were in Mitzrayim, we received the Bris Mila. And what's one of the proof texts for that? One of the psukim is in Yechezkel. V'avor, v'avor alayich, v'arech, v'itposeses, v'damayich, v'omer lach, v'damayich chayi. We know at the Pesach Seder, make reference to this pasuk. And the word dam is in the plural, damayich. Namely, it's referring to more than one blood. Dam mila, but also the dam of the Korban Pesach. So says Rav Soloveitchik, perhaps you can argue that since the pasuk, which is referring to the Korban Pesach, is brought up in the context of the sugya of Gerus, that might suggest that the Korban Pesach also served as an ingredient in the conversion process. And the Rav does not stop there. The Rav writes as follows, and we'll bring another proof in a little bit. He says, the Hainu Sha'ayidei HaKorban Pesach Haya Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim V'nituk Me'avodah Zarah. So again, as the Mechilta proved directly, and the Gemara and Krisa suggested, argues Rav Soloveitchik that our bringing the Korban Pesach represented our acceptance of Hashem's commandments in contrast to Avodah Zarah. And he writes a beautiful line over here. This is in the Harei Kedem Siman Nun Zayin on Pesach. Ha-Korban Pesach haya ma'asa shel gerus. The very act of the Korban Pesach served as bringing a Korban of conversion. Wow. What an idea. And the Meshech Chachma says... Oh, very good. So we'll get there. Very good. Very good. So Adam says that you can't say that the conversion process took place in Mitzrayim, because the Gemara in Krisus asks this question, where was the blood? And the Gemara answers very, very, very clearly, explicitly, that we brought korbanos in the Midbar at Har Sinai, and there was sprinkling of us, of the blood on our heads. So Adam, you just quoted a Gemara in Krisus Baal Peh, which is not stam, by the way. You know what I'm saying? Like that's intimidating. It was very, Adam, that'd be extra dessert for this man. Very, very, very good. So I looked at the Gemara also. Oh, okay, very good. Okay, good. So before Adam slugs up Rav Soloveitchik, we're going to quote the Or Samech, because the Rav's not alone. If the Rav was alone, we could kind of nitpick at him and maybe argue on him. But if you have the Rav and the Or Samech saying the same thing in two different ways, we're gonna go with it, and we're going to maybe even side with the Or Samech's presentation, because he has a fundamental yesod here. So wonderful Meshech Chachma in Parshas Bahaloscha, Perek Tes, Pasuk Zayin. And this is in the context of the Pesach Sheni, but again, in that context, the Meshech Chachma says that we always find throughout Tanakh that the Korban Pesach is associated with tshuva and our removal of Avodah Zarah. Okay. So namely, just in its inherent, what? Excellent. So Adam, very good. Story of the Yoshio HaMelech. We'll get there in a second. Very good. But look at this amazing sentence of the Meshech Chachma, Meir Simcha of Midvinsk, or the same author of the Or Samech we quoted earlier. The Matsano Bekama Makoma Shehuvdulu Me'avodah Zarah La'avodas Hashem Yishbarach Levado HaMiyuchan Haya Ayidei Pesach. We find in numerous places that the transition from Avodah Zarah to Avodas Hashem, that transition takes place dafka through the holiday of Pesach. Wow. It's a pasuk in, by Chizkiyahu HaMelech. So he quotes, after Chizkiyahu HaMelech got rid of Avodah Zarah, the Torah testifies that again, he made a Korban Pesach. So there it is. If Chizkiyahu HaMelech, that episode is tying together Chizkiyahu removing Tumah Avodah Zarah from Klal Yisrael, followed by a Korban Pesach. Why is that? Korban Pesach reminds us of how Hashem chose us as his chosen people in Mitzrayim. And that, by definition, will inspire us to forego Avodah Zarah. Who would want to worship idols when they remember how Hashem chose us as the chosen people when we were in Mitzrayim? And this is Yoshua HaMelech, as Adam just reminded us that on the second day of Pesach, it was our Haftorah, that what did Yoshua HaMelech do? He cleaned all of the Avodah Zarah up out of Klal Yisrael, and guess what? They made a huge celebration of the Korban Pesach. Unbelievable. And the Chachma says, by the way, how many Korban Pesach offerings were brought in the Midbar? Only two, right? On the very first year in the desert, you know why we had to do it then? The second year, I mean, the first one was in Mitzrayim, and the second year, because we had to be Mechaper for the Cheda Egel. Technically speaking, the Orson Bach proves that you only have to bring the Korban Pesach in Israel. Why? Because the Pasuk of Kisavou suggests it's a mitzvah that only takes place in Israel. So he says the only reason we needed to bring a Korban Pesach was whenever we did Avodah Zarah, namely after Cheda Egel. And at the end of the Midbar, we violated the sin of Baal Peor in the 40th year in the Midbar. So therefore, we needed to bring the Korban Pesach again. Wow. So again, throughout Tanakh, i.e. the starting with the Midbar, going to Yoshiyahu and Chizkiyahu HaMelech, the Meshech Chachma has proven that there is a recurring theme and association here, where the Korban Pesach represents a removal of Avodah Zarah, which is very similar to conversion. And here's where the Meshech Chachma says his Chiddush. V'itachein, you can potentially say, Da'af de'ger tzarech l'havi korban ola sa'of. Even though, generally speaking, what does a convert need to do? When a person converts to Judaism, what does he generally need to do? Generally, he needs to bring a korban ola to complete his conversion. But maybe that only is talking about a convert who has not brought the korban Pesach. Maybe buckle up. Here it is. Don't get too excited. But zedavka below korban of Zedavka below Asa Pesach. But Abi says, the Meshech Chachma, if someone converts to Judaism and brings a Korban Pesach, that Korban Pesach serves as the Korban to enter him into Bnei Yisrael. The Korban Pesach is a substitution for the Korban one has to bring when they convert to Judaism. Wow. What he says. Wild idea. Wild idea. And Rav Soloveitchik now, here's his clincher. He says, that, you know, when was the conversion complete? So he says, okay, beautiful. Rav Soloveitchik says, all right, I want to argue that we started converting with the Korban Pesach, but the conversion was only completed at our Sinai. And that explains a famous Gemara. It's famous because Rashi al-Torah quotes it, where when Moshe came down from our Sinai and he saw everyone sitting with the Cheda Egel, he broke the Luchos. Why did he break the Luchos? Because he drew a Kal Vachomer. He says, the Korban Pesach is only one of the 613 mitzvahs. And the Torah says, one who is in the category of a Ben Nechar is not allowed to eat of the Korban Pesach, namely someone who is an Ovdei Avodah Zarah. And here, the entire people are in the category of Ovdei Avodah Zarah because they are worshiping the Cheda Egel. So how can I give them the Luchos? So says Rav Soloveitchik, what's pshat with that Kal Vachomer? What's the connection? Because since an Ovdei Avodah Zarah can't eat the Korban Pesach, therefore what? Therefore, Klal Yisrael is not ready to accept the Torah? It means like this. Since Korban Pesach is the beginning of the conversion process, and they're not even ready for that, how can they accept the Torah, which is the conclusion of the conversion process? That's what the Rav wants to say. The Hatchalas Ageirus was the Korban Pesach. The beginning of the process to become a Jew was the Korban Pesach, and they weren't even ready for that. And here, I want to give them the whole Luchos, the whole Torah, and they're not ready to accept that. So argues the Rav, that's Pshat and Moshe Rabbeinu's Kal Vachomer. If they're not ready to start the Geirus conversion, then we cannot complete the Geirus conversion. Wow. Ad Khan, Divrei Rav Soloveitchik and the Divrei Or Sameach. So that answers our original question. Why is it that if someone were to convert on Erev Pesach, they are allowed to eat, again, practically speaking, they can't eat the Korban Pesach for other reasons. But why is it not a problem for him to eat the Korban Pesach on account of the fact that he needs to bring his own Korban to convert? Why not? Because he does not need to bring a Korban to convert. Why not? Because the Korban Pesach serves as the conversion Korban. Because the Korban Pesach always helps Jews convert, or at least become closer to Hashem and make that transformation. And certainly in our generation as well, when we experience our own Zman Chei Rusein, when our own Passover experience, on a spiritual level, we should all be undergoing some form of internal conversion, an internal transition, an internal transformation. What this means is that someone should not be the same person after Pesach as they were before Pesach. Granted, we don't need to convert literally, but to some degree, the Torah is calling upon us to leave over the Avodah Zarah, so to speak, that we might have been attached to before Pesach, and to cling to the Ribono Shel Olam, maybe in a tighter fashion than we were before Pesach. So where is that evident? From Sfiras HaOmer. Sfiras HaOmer is what we take with us out of Pesach. And in the same way that Rav Soloveitchik and the Gemara in Krisus says that the completion of our conversion took place in Har Sinai, so too this year, the completion of our Avodah of Pesach takes place on Shavuos. On the Aruch HaShulchan has a beautiful pshat as to how one can entertain that Sfiras HaOmer B'Zman HaZeh is even a mitzvah midoraisa. We classically assume that Sfiras HaOmer is only a mitzvah midorabanan nowadays. Why? Because there's no more Korban HaOmer brought without a Beis HaMikdash, without bringing the Korban HaOmer, so the counting of the Omer seemingly is only a midorabanan. But the Aruch HaShulchan quotes a midrash, which says that originally when we left Mitzrayim, the Jews were told by Moshe that they were going to Har Sinai and would be receiving the Torah in 50 days. And therefore, the original Yetzias Mitzrayim included a count towards Har Sinai. And therefore, says the Aruch HaShulchan, you could understand someone saying that the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer nowadays is a din d'oraisa, because the Midrash holds that the counting is not associated with the Korban Omer, rather the counting, according to the Midrash, is associated with receiving the Torah. And Klal Yisrael anticipated Matan Torah when they left Egypt. They understood they were marching towards Har Sinai, and it's going to be in 50 days. They were counting every single day to get to Har Sinai. So says the Aruch HaShulchan, that you can explain. Therefore, you can explain that even nowadays, the mitzvah of counting the Omer is a de'oraisa. So I think it's upon us, the Avodah is upon us, to really cling to the Ribono Shel Olam, to his Torah, and try to march out of Pesach as if we were converts. And maybe just in conclusion, just to Bederach Musar, there's no greater Musar that Pesach teaches us is then the way to eat. A little bit of a funny thing to say, but there's no question that when we eat on Pesach, so granted, most of us think that we gain weight on Pesach, right? You know, that's all we're doing all day, eating, because we're not full enough, etc. But I thought you can argue that one of the things we always do is that we follow Pesach with Parsha Shmini. And the Parsha of Shemini includes the mitzvah of kashrus. And it says that you have to eat in an appropriate way, lahavdil, right? The whole idea is that we should not eat disgusting things. And the whole concept of kashrus is to make a havdalah between the Jewish people and the non-Jews, etc. So why do we eat? There's a beautiful Ramah, I meant to put it on the Makoros, because I didn't have time. There's a beautiful Ramah that says that the reason we put salt on the table is because when we eat, every time we eat, it's like a korban. How is our eating like a korban? Because having physical health is a mitzvah. Because our physical health will cause us to learn better, to daven better, etc. Let me find it. I think it's in Kuf Samaches. And maybe I'm wrong on the simon, but it's somewhere in these simanim about Petzias HaPras. I don't know if it's the Ramah or the Mishnah Brura. I thought it was the Ramah. I have to look it up. That, but either way, eating is a holy act, literally. And maybe that's a part of our own process of the conversion, so to speak, of the Pesach experience, that chametz is such an extreme mitzvah. We can't even have a tiny drop. We can't have any hana'ah. And Pesach maybe is giving us a little bit of a musr of that maybe we don't need such luxurious foods. And Parsha Shmini says the way we're supposed to eat is supposed to be different than the other nations of the world. And it should at least get us on the path of Kabbalah Satorah. So in conclusion, the mitzvah of Korban Pesach has always been associated with the transformation. And certainly this generation as well, we should also be undergoing some form of chayrus, of transformation towards Kabbalah Satorah, whether it's improving our, eating habits, not to be too gluttonous, obsessed with food and appreciate the reasons why we eat, or just a stronger adherence to the Torah and Hashem's mitzvos, or any other form of tshuva, but it's certainly upon us to think about the different ways that we could leave the quote-unquote avodah zarah that we might have been associated with prior to Pesach and run towards Har Sinai, Bezos Hashem, with a transformation and inspiration. Have a chag, kosher v'simcha.